making a transition, the last few weeks I've been talking about knowing God better. Better than we had before. Not that we didn't, but we wanted to know Him better. Today we're going to make a transition from just knowing Him to calling on Him. How are you going to call on Him if you've never heard? Paul asks. How can they call on Him if they've never heard? It's a good, interesting question. So today we're going to make that transition from calling on Him, from knowing Him to calling on Him. Knowing Him as a source of help. Actually, not a source. He is the source of help. The source. Not one of many. Oh, we've got options here when it comes to God. No, you don't. And I want to even take a side here against people who think that we can make God into something we imagine Him to be. No. He does not bend to our understanding. We need to bend to Him. We need to conform to what He knows. And so, by way of contrast, what we're going to do is we're going to look at Psalm 146. And if you have Psalm 146 there, look at it, because I don't think I have any of it on the wall this morning. So you're going to have to depend upon your own scripture. Psalm 146, short psalm. Duncan read it for us this morning, and I appreciate that, Duncan, very much. You do a fine job. Psalm 146, the first verse, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. How easy we say that. In the Hebrew, we have a word there, hallelujah. What does hallelujah mean? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. H-A-L-L-E-L is praise. And from Psalm 118 on, they are referred to as the Hallel Psalms. If you Hallel, because they're praise psalms. You read through them and just see how many times that word praise comes up. You might be amazed. But hallelujah means praise Yah. Praise the Lord, O my soul. And then he says in verse 2, while I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. The psalmist made a choice. He chose Yahweh above all others to praise and worship. As long as I'm alive, he said, I'm praising Him. As long as I'm alive, he made his choice. He has chosen Yahweh. Here's the contrast. We're going to be looking at that too. I know I probably didn't need to tell you this, but Yahweh is better than men. How many knew that already? That's good. A few of you. Maybe the rest of you will realize that too this morning. Yahweh is better than men. In verse 3, we start this contrast in Psalm 146, verses 3 and 4. It's where the contrast starts. It starts out with, do not put your trust in princes, nor in the son of man. That phrase there, son of man, is not a reference to Jesus. Don't think that the psalmist is saying don't put your trust in Jesus. No. The Son of Man is simply a phrase that refers to human beings. Son of Adam. Adam is from the dirt. That's what that means. Made of dirt. So making reference to the fact that we are, the Son of Men, are made of dirt. Created by our Heavenly Father. given his breath of life so that we could become living souls. Psalm 146, verses 3 and 4, the psalmist says, don't put your trust in princes or in the sons of men, son of man, in whom there is no help, no salvation. You can't do it. It's not possible. It's not going to happen. You see, man can't bring about salvation. And verse 4 tells us why. You think about it. It says, his spirit departs and he returns to the earth. There is no help. He dies and returns to the dust. That's what he is. That's what he's going to be. That's the way things work. That's the nature of the individual. He dies and returns to the dust. He goes on to tell us here, in that very day, his plans perish. Whatever we have set up to go on that we've directed after we've died, how do you know they're going to do like you want them to do? A funeral director one time said, you cannot direct the funeral from the casket. Well, I want it this way. I make sure so-and-so and do this. And the funeral director, I think, was getting a little agitated at the man's insistence, and he said, you know, really, you can't direct the funeral from the casket. They'll do what they want to do, whether you like it or not. And how are you going to know the difference? Exactly. Don't put your trust in the Son of Man because there is no help. He dies and returns to the dust and his plans perish. In contrast with men, that's what the psalmist is doing with God. He's contrasting him with men, human beings, as great feeble as we are. So what can humans do? Well, we go back to Genesis and look at, see, we can mess up God's creation without much help. That's what we can do. But other than that, it's not much. Not much that a human can do. So regardless of campaign promises, regardless of what they tell you they promise, don't put your trust in someone who will die and be ineffective. Now, you probably already know this, but I'll say it anyway, that God isn't going to die. You don't have to worry about him returning to the dust, because that's not what he was made of. Don't put your trust in men. There is no salvation there. Verses 5, 6, and 7, this is why we can trust Yahweh. A good, pretty good list. And if you have these underlined in your Bible, that's a good thing. If you don't, consider underlining these things. Starting with verse 5, happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Verse 6. Who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, who keeps truth forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord gives freedom to the prisoners. These are the reasons why we can praise him. These are the reasons God is so much superior. Just to get to know him better. He created the heavens and the earth. He is the maker of everything. Man, best we can do is rearrange what God has created. And we call it inventing things. Not creating things. It's just rearranging what God's already created. He's not only created the heaven and the earth, but he's the sea and all that's in them as well. You know, the sea goes as deep as the mountains go high. Did you know that? There are holes in the ocean that you could put mountain ranges in, and it would still be level. But God knows what's down in those trenches, in those deep, dark, cold places in the sea. He knows what's in there, because He made it all. And He keeps truth forever, or faith forever. How do you keep from getting caught in a lie? How do you keep from getting caught in a lie? Easy answer. Don't tell a lie. Yeah, on the positive side of that is, tell the truth. You tell the truth, you don't have to be worried about any lies. It's pretty simple. Well, God keeps the truth forever. He's faith. I think is what Duncan's version mentioned there. Truth and faith. Forever. These are other reasons why we can trust Him. The list goes on. Let me read verse 7 again. Who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry, the Lord gives freedom to the prisoners. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. So, He keeps the truth. The psalmist goes on to say that there is hope for the oppressed because He executes justice on their part. What is right? Not what is popular. God can't be bought off. He can't be bribed. You're not going to do something that's going to turn God's eye or His thoughts from justice. What do you think you could give Him that would turn Him against His own justice? You can't do it. You can't be bribed or bought off. He executes justice. He does the things that are right. And He gives food to those who are hungry. Jesus was in the wilderness being tempted. He was tempted because He was hungry 40 days without food. He was tempted. Turn these stones into bread if you are the Son of God. Jesus didn't fall for it. He simply gave us this statement. Man does not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that comes out of the mouth of God. He gives food to the hungry, and it's not always physical food. It's not always physical food. But you know, there have been times, and I really appreciate these times. I look forward to them. I can remember the time I sat down at my desk, I opened up my Bible, I had my pen and my pad of paper next to me, I'm going to start studying the Scripture. When I got into it, there was a feeling, an emotional response that came over me. And it was like the time that I sat down in a restaurant to a prime rib dinner with baked potato and sour cream. You know what I'm talking about? You have that set down before you. You know how you get kind of anticipating something good because there's food sitting? That's exactly how I felt. Opening up the Bible. He gives food to the hungry. The last thing that we mentioned was, or another thing is, He gives freedom to the prisoners. Now, this is emotional and spiritual freedom. I know that there are men and women incarcerated in various places around this nation who, once they get Jesus, they just want to get out, too. Well, He doesn't open those kind of prisons. He can't be guaranteed that, but he does give freedom to those who are of emotional and spiritual, that need emotional and spiritual freedom. And a lot of the prisons that we're stuck in are self-imposed. I mean, we're our own jailer and warden, all of those kind of things. But God can set us free from those things. But there's more. There's still more. Remember what we read. He gives sight to the blind. And we're not talking about this physical sight here. Not just making a blind man a seeing individual. We're talking about spiritual blindness. I didn't realize what I was doing. I didn't know that my actions and my words were having this kind of an effect on other people. You see, there's more than one way for blindness to be taken away. And our God is able to give sight to the blind. He raises up those that are bowed down. And this is interesting. He raises up those who are bowed down. He does not take advantage of those people who are having a rough time in life. A lot of people in this world are. There are those who are bowed down because of the circumstances of their life. There are people who will take advantage of them, but our Heavenly Father is not one of them. No. I want you to know that about him. He raises up those who are bowed down, and he loves the righteous. Even if other people don't, our God loves those who practice righteousness. Even if others don't, he will. It's impossible. You can't please everybody. So let's just fix our goal on one individual, God, and let's please him. And let everybody else take care of themselves. He loves the righteous. And he watches over the strangers. When was the last time you were a stranger in some place, in some city, in some country, in a building? And you're confused, you're alone, you don't know where to go, you don't know what's going on. So God watches over strangers. He sees. Remember we talked about Adam? He does see. And if you've ever been a stranger in a place, you didn't know where you were going or what you were supposed to do, you can appreciate the fact that God sees and he helps. He doesn't take advantage of it just because we're lost. He watches over strangers. There's still more. He relieves the defenseless. I've always appreciated this, the fact that he relieves the fatherless and the widow. Those who have no protection and support, he relieves their suffering. He looks out for them, the widows and the orphans. And God warns men that if you don't look out for the widows and the orphans, your wife and children will be a widow, an orphan. You have to think about that for a minute. It will come to you, I'm sure. He relieves the defenseless. But another interesting point here is he pays attention to the wicked, too. He notices them. Just because we decide we don't want to do righteousness doesn't mean he can't see it. There's no place we can go that we're out of his care or notice. As a matter of fact, it is Psalm 13:15 I want to bring to your attention. Psalm 13:15. This is one to remember. Life gets a little hard, things seem to be going uphill, It seems like you're pulling a long chain through the mud. Well, listen. Psalm 13:15 may be something you should take into consideration. Good understanding gains favor, but the way of the unfaithful is hard. He turns the way of the wicked upside down. He makes it crooked. The way of the transgressor or the unfaithful is hard. Life's getting hard. How's your faithfulness? That'll be my question. Might not be my only question, but that'll be where I'd start. The way of the unfaithful is hard. A good proverb to keep in mind. Then we have verse 10. The Lord shall reign forever, your God, O Zion, to all generations. Praise the Lord. Why do we want to praise the Lord? Why should we glorify Him? Why should we make mention of His name? Because He's going to reign forever. All generations. Praise Him. You see, it's the winning team. Don't we all like winning teams? Huh? Don't we? We don't want to be on a losing team. Don't we call that ritual? No. We don't want that. This is good reason to praise Him. To learn these things about Him and feel comfortable. So that when we pray to Him, when we call out to Him, it's not a strange thing for us. We're not a stranger in a strange place. I talked with another individual this week. I said, how have you been praying? Oh, I can't pray. God's not going to hear me. I said, who told you that? Who told you God can't hear you? Well, it's just the way I feel. I said, let me give you a hint here. Scripture is true. Your feelings are really shaky at best. Don't go by how you feel. Go by what God says is true. It is the winning team. He's going to rule forever. For all generations. There is no excuses. He's not going to say, well, you know, my first baseman's out because he's got a broken ankle, or, well, we would have won if our shortstop would have played a little better. There's no excuses. God doesn't need to make excuses. He is the winning team. No excuses, just victory. That's all. So I've begun asking people, when I see them, say, hi, how are you? You know, como estas? How are you? Well, I've changed that. I've started asking people, and if I haven't asked you yet, consider this the time I'm asking you, how goes the victory? Because we walk in victory. There is no excuse. We walk in victory. So I'm asking people, how goes the victory? We ask, how goes the defeat? No, I'm not going to ask that. Because that's not working. That's not getting there. But I'm talking about calling on, knowing God, and calling on Him. I want to just give you these verses to help you see how we can call on God. Psalm 105, verse 1. Now these aren't up on the wall, so you'll have to look them up for yourself. Or make a note on the bulletin and look them up later. Psalm 105, verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people. There's three things in that verse. Praise. Are you attributing to God things that He has done that nobody else can do? Praising Him. That's thing number one. Item number two is pray, call on Him. And the third thing is, tell people what He's done for you. And what it says, make known His deeds among the peoples. Everybody, make no distinction. You know what God did for me this week? I can't wait to tell you. I can't wait to brag on what God did. Tell you what my grandson did? You would hear what I would tell you was so great about my grandson or my granddaughters. You know, Carol made a great achievement in her career. Can I tell you about it? And you say, oh, sure. That sounds like something great. Well, listen. God's done some wonderful things, and we need to tell people about that. All you need to do is talk about what you know. Not asking you to make something up. There's another one, Psalm 145. Psalm 145. So we're looking at verse 18. The Lord is near to all who call upon Him, to all who call upon Him in truth. Well, preacher, what's that mean? So let me see if I got it, can get a hold of this. You need to be honest with Him. You're not going to pull the wool over His eyes. You're not going to put the spin on your excuses to make Him believable to our Heavenly Father. You need to call on Him in truth. Be honest with Him. He is near. Call on Him, but do it in truth. And then another one, Psalm 91. We're going to look at a couple of testimonies here in a minute, but I want to just get one more idea out of the way. Psalm 91, verses 14, 15, and 16. I know that we've read this before, but I want to read it again. Psalm 91, 14. Because He has set His love upon me. This is God talking. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver Him. I will set Him on high, because He has known my name. He shall call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Because God says, because this individual has set His love on me, because of that, I'm going to do something. I've said it in the past, and I think it fits. God doesn't arbitrarily do things to us. He simply acts according to our decisions. Right here, He said, because this individual has set His love on me, because they did that, this is how I'm going to respond to that choice. You want God to forgive you for your sins? Certainly we do. He said, well, listen, let me see how forgiving you are, and I'll act accordingly. Let me see how much mercy you can show to an individual so I know how much mercy to give to you. You see, God's going to respond to our choices. You don't want Jesus to reign over you? It's your choice. God's going to make it happen. He's going to respond according to the choices we make. Just as He said here. He acts according to our decisions. He is the best security in the time of trouble. And so here's some other testimony. Some what other people have said about calling on Yahweh. To help you get started on your own testimony, okay? I'll give you a little seed, testimonial seed. Psalm 118, verse 6. We read it already this morning in our call to worship. You ever been in a tight spot? It reminds me of the holy. We'll go to Verarta. We're in a tight spot. Oh, we're in a tight spot. You ever been in a tight spot? Here the psalmist says, I called on Yahweh in distress. Yahweh answered me and set me in a broad place. It wasn't a tight spot anymore. It was a broad place. You've been hiking up in the mountains and on the trail? I have seen this where you're walking along and you have this part of the trail and you got to keep on it because it goes down on this side and it gets pretty steep. I don't like those. I like the ones that are wide and broad. Makes life easier. And this is what the psalmist said. He answered me and he set me in that broad place. Well, I didn't have the concerns I had a little bit ago. I don't have the problems I had a little bit ago. I don't have the fears anymore that I had a little bit ago because he has set me in a broad place. Call on him. He will answer. Then there's Psalm 99, verses 5 and 6. Let me look at this for you. Psalm 99, verses 5 and 6. Here it is. Moses and Aaron, they're talking about Moses and Aaron, were among his priests, and Samuel was among those who called upon his name. They called upon the Lord, and he answered them. Is that your testimony? I call on the Lord, and he answers me. Is that your testimony? Can you share that? Can you speak that in truth? I call upon the Lord and he answered me. I was afraid of some terrible thing happening in my body and I cried to him and he answered me and took it away. I was afraid of a situation coming up. I called on him and he put me in a broad place where I didn't have that concern anymore. They called, he answered. Then there is Psalm 118:5, another one I think we've read already. Yes. I called on Yahweh in distress. Yahweh answered me and set me in a broad place. Good testimony. Any of us can use these things as idea to springboard into a testimony of what God does for us. I was in a tight spot, and Yahweh took me out of it. I was in a hard place. What's that saying, between a rock and a hard place? I was between a rock and a hard place, and God took the hard place and the rock away. That's a good testimony. And you know, it doesn't take that long to memorize. We can call on our Heavenly Father. We can call on Him. You know why? Because He defends those who are bowed down. He takes special notice of those who are brokenhearted. We can call on Him. You call on our Heavenly Father, and you're going to get a good testimony. I'm sure of it. And positive. Call on him. He wants you to.